Psalm 8, we're going to read verse 1 and verse 9. If you have, say amen.
Amen.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. His glory is, it's beyond the heavens that we see, but it's above it. It's greater than it. I mean, think about all the stuff you've seen in the Hubble telescope and all these advancements we have and just the stuff that man has never seen. There are people who have lived generations and centuries that never saw half the stuff we see today. They don't even know any of that existed. They just see it on a starry night, but they've never been able to look at Mars up close. And yet God's saying his glory is above it. See, not all glory is seen glory. And some glory is. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Praise God. John 14, chapter 1. John 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Praise God. I got to get my mind out of the fields pruning trees. I close my eyes and want to think about Jesus, and I'm seeing tree limbs and cuts. And don't cut that, cut that. Praise God. You know how that goes when you've been staring at something for 8 hours a day for the last several days. Just close your eyes and it's like, oh, Macowan trees and Gala trees. And God, I don't want to see this stuff. It's about to say chapter 14 and chapter 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know it's hard to understand tonight. And I'll try not to preach while you're standing, but I know it may be difficult to understand that, but you are participating, you are partaking of, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you have tasted of the glory that's above the heavens.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. One more verse, Ephesians 2. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world. Think about this. I want you to think about this while you are reading this tonight. I want you to dwell on the fact that when you are converted, there is a past tense. Just like when you turn the word devil around, it says lived. Isn't that amazing? He once lived, so he's got to live for the rest of his life being labeled opposite as the devil, knowing that he once lived, but now he's dead. What a loser. But we're dead. But now we're alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, but you don't anymore. You're not supposed to anymore. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Want to say this one thing? Just part note. I know you're standing, but I'm just trying to wake you up for a minute and myself. If you want the wrong spirit to operate in you, become disobedient. If you want the right spirit, the spirit of God working in you, become obedient. Hallelujah. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just love him. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your great grace. Hallelujah. We thank you for your glory. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. God, we thank you for the glory that we have, God, tasted of. Praise God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm going to do a quick mic check, Carolyn. Again, on the other computer where VMix is running, there should be a volume bar that you see. It's tapping the green still all the way up. Nothing louder than that, correct? Okay, great. All right. Just want to make sure. I'm going to talk. I'm going to try not to scream because I don't have anybody really monitoring that back there on the mixer. So I've read all these verses here tonight. In relation to what we started with Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord. And you notice the difference in spelling. It was capital O-R-D, L-O-R-D, and then capital L's, lowercase O-R-D. As well as the verse that we're going to go to in a few minutes, if you just give me a few minutes of your time here tonight, in Psalm 110 that we read the other night, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. What a powerful scripture. Not only is it a scripture of teaching who he is and how he did what he did, but it's we're partakers of that. And that's what excites me more than just trying to prove that he's one God and trying to help people come out of a three-person Godhead deity concept into a one God Father, Word, Spirit equals one, not three, one. And how that is so. And these are some of the things we'll talk about. And we'll go right into that. God is not a three-person deity. But I'm not here to teach this tonight, to slam anything that I was raised in. That's not the purpose of it all. But we get to be partakers. We get to know by experience. I was partaking of the oneness of God before I knew how one he was. And see, that's the great thing about God. Our understanding may be unfruitful, but it doesn't mean our experience is. Praise the Lord. And of his grace, we have all received, right? Of his fullness have we all received, John chapter 1, and grace for grace. So God doesn't not pour out his spirit and allow us to experience his deity just because we don't understand his deity. But what we get to do after we are born again, after we are filled with the real Spirit of God, is we get to go on a search. We get to discover His deity. We get to understand who He is when we hunger and thirst after Him. And if we have a lot of stuff going on in our brain, a lack of understanding because of, then He's able to take us through those things. He's able to help us by putting the Word of God together for us and helping us. One of the best ways that you'll ever understand who God is keep yourself experiencing God. God knows who God is. If you don't, if I don't, if I lack understanding somewhere, God don't lack understanding anywhere. He knows exactly who He is. He's never one time doubted who He is. He doesn't have a problem. He doesn't wake up with memory issues. He knows exactly who He is. He said, I am God and there is none else. We've read those verses, did we not? He said, there is no God beside me. He knows exactly who He is. And he knows himself that He was not one God in the first covenant and then all of a sudden three in one God in the new covenant. He said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. So for one God to be one God, and He's a God that never changes, then somewhere something else happened that tried to change Him. But He didn't change. The fact that we read such verses, I'm going to turn back to Psalm 8 here. As, O Lord, our Lord. We're not talking about, now watch this, because many people know this already just in reading Scripture and having it all before us today, whereas centuries ago we didn't, right? But we do, and we have a little bit of understanding to know that, O Lord, our Lord, and Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, and we read a few other verses, right? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name what? God with us. When we read, O Lord, our Lord, we're not reading about two lords. We're reading about the manifestation of the one God. We're reading about, O Lord, O God the Father, who knew that He would send His own word, and that which would be born of a virgin, His word would be manifest in the flesh. He said of Himself through Nathan the prophet unto King David, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So whenever you hear in prophecy the voice of the word of God speaking about things as though they were, like it was already happening, even though it had not happened yet, you're hearing the conversation of the Word before it was made flesh. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So you start hearing the language, you start hearing Jesus talking long before Jesus was manifest as far as His name and the human being. Coming out of the womb of Mary. You hear the voice of God. See, look, His name was Jesus before it was revealed. And He was the Christ before the Christ showed up on the scene for us. Now, this is where some of the theologians get all goofed up in their head because they try to make it make sense. You cannot make it make sense to you. The less it makes sense to you, the more revelation from God you'll receive. It's not supposed to make sense to you. Praise the Lord. Just as Moses put a veil over his face when he came down from the mount because his face was shining after being in the presence of God for 40 days, even so the Lord put a veil over His face. No man shall see my face and live. That's what He told Moses. And it's also written in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. And in Timothy, Paul said that God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. No man has seen. But yet John wrote and said that His glory that's set above the heavens, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, revelation is in every verse if you're just slow up enough to read it and let God show it to you. He's saying, the closest we got to seeing the glory of the invisible God was as the Son of God. There's only one who could be manifested as the Son and be the Father of the Son. Thank you, Jesus. And then from that temple of flesh, say, when you've seen me, you've seen, O Lord. Because the Lord Jehovah in Isaiah 12 said, he has become our salvation. Another deity didn't become our salvation. It was the Lord Jehovah that became our Lord. Praise God. So again, I'm saying that not because I'm throwing stones at anybody, but the bigger picture of it all is the fact that he has made us a partaker of who he is. Your soul knows he's one God. Look, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God. You're not filled with a third person of God. You're not filled with a mystery spirit that's somewhere there and does stuff, but we just don't get it. No, we do get it. I'm filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God. And the reason I'm filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God is because, O Lord, said unto our Lord, sit thou at my right hand until these people are converted. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I read to you these verses of Scripture here tonight. Wow, time's moving. I read these verses of Scripture here to you tonight because I wanted to put in your mind about place as we before we go to Psalm 110 again. Hallelujah. God's so good. I could read all these verses in Psalm 8. Oh, Lord, our Lord. Every time I read that, I just can't help but to think, he had to do it this way. Hebrews 2 testifies that he did not take on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham, that he might be made like unto his brethren and be faithful in things pertaining to God. He came not by any other means but flesh and blood, 1 John 5. So he was made a man. Because it was man that failed. He was made a man so that he could rescue man and become the Lord of man, because there was something else in the way that he had to triumph over and conquer. And that is why, being made a man, he had to taste death for every man, because it was death that had captured us. It was death that caused us to grow old. Sin caused us to grow old and die, and still does. But Jesus shedding blood and going into that grave and yet not staying in that grave. But the O Lord said unto our Lord, get up. Hallelujah. So that we could get up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just saying these things briefly. There's lots of verses to go into it in more detail, and we will do so. So I'm just kind of throw in some verses out there that you can look at, because there's nothing I'm saying tonight that's not in the Scripture. I'm not making any of this up. Hebrews 5 and 7 talks about the days of his flesh. Whose flesh? The Father's flesh. Hallelujah. That's the way you say it, because that's the truth. It's better to say it the way the Scripture says it than to say it the way some theologian perceives it in his unregenerated mind and tries to talk about it. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody, not even the names that I've mentioned who originally came up with the idea of a three-person deity. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So let's just go to Psalm 110, because I'm going to stay there all night and I don't have that time. But I read to you John 14, and Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we know ultimately, yes, the place is heaven, and we, when the Lord appears, we shall appear with him in glory, and we shall be changed. That's the Scripture. No matter what you understand right now. He didn't say you need to understand everything about him in order to go to glory. He just said, be obedient. So that the bottom line is just obey God. Believe God, believe his word, obey the Lord. I promise you there's nothing preached in this church that if you obey that you're committing sacrilege or you're offending something. Promise you it's scriptural. And you can read it for yourself and see that it's scriptural. Everything that we're teaching, especially concerning salvation. There's only one salvation plan. There's not more than one salvation plan. There's only one gospel. Galatians 1, 8 and verse 9 testifies that if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel, just like there's only one Lord. There's only one faith, only one baptism. There's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and 12. So there's nothing that we're teaching that isn't in the scripture. Everything about God is one. Even though his character, his attributes, his creativity is plural, if you want to look at it like that, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, he's one God. Hey, your body has a lot of cells in it, but you're one. Let's see, you become 1,000 different things just because you have left and right brain and a bunch of organs and spirit, soul, and body. I don't see your spirit, soul, and body. Good thing. That'd be kind of creepy, wouldn't it? We'd need more chairs. By the way, some talk, oh, my spirit's there in the church. Yeah, it's about the only thing that shows up to church, too. It's called a good intention. But faith without works is dead. So, all right. After it's fun, let's go to Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This message is going to end up on you tonight and end up on the idea that you have more than you sometimes recognize. You're in a place where there's more. And the only way to discover it is to just cause prayer and a prayer life to be a revealing place where you stir up. That's why the scripture talks about stirring up the gift of God that's in you. Because if you go on, around living life unstirred, you'll be unvictorious. If you don't stir up this gift, then you'll never learn how to walk in the power of the gift. And there'll be a lot of stuff that will make you its footstool when you're supposed to make it your footstool. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yet how many times has life just picked us up and dropped us and acted like you're powerless, you're non-victorious, you're defeated? So perhaps a message about who God is will reveal who you are. And the glory that you experience that he poured out to you. To think that I'm filled with the glory of God that he has set above the heavens. Watch. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, the word sit here is not, we get what the word means, but it's not quite what you're doing right now. Not quite. This isn't a thing because God is not a man. So how does God sit? And if Jesus is not a man, because there's no flesh and glory, if people want to separate him, which you can't. Can't separate the word from the one who speaks the word. Then if he's sitting in the heavenly, how is he doing that? It's not two chairs and one sitting beside another. It must mean something. It must represent something. It must represent place. Watch. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The word sit has everything to do with, now, this is the prophecy we're reading. We know this has been fulfilled. That when Jesus, it wasn't just when he arose and was set at the right hand of the majesty on high, Hebrews 12. But even while he was in his earthly ministry, he was in a place judging kings and kingdoms. He was in complete charge. Remember John 18 when they came to take him. He said, "Whom do you seek?" And he said, "Jesus of." They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And what did they do? They went backward and fell to the ground. What was the Lord saying with just one statement of "I am"? He was in italics. He said, "I am." He spoke two powerful words that sent them backwards and let them know before they took him, "I'm in charge." I don't care if life shows up on your doorstep on a Monday morning with torches and staves and somebody comes up to betray you and kisses you on the cheek. You've got power over all of it. It is not in charge of you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're in a place where all things are under his feet. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not only is he one God, but we've been baptized into one God. We dwell in one God. We're a part of the Godhead. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Put that on your thinking cap. Thank you, Jesus. Sit thou at my right hand until. In other words, be in a place that I'll set you. So sit thou represents what came forth from God. Remember what Jesus said, "I proceeded forth and came out from God." So see, he could never have been a separate entity. He said, "I came out from." What was manifest in the flesh? The Word. What else can come from God but his Word? His Spirit. Watch. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be," and "let there be" said, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book, "it is written of me to do thy will, O God." A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. But which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee"? And again, let all the angels of God worship him. The fact that we read a phrase like, "Sit thou at my right hand," means that something came out from God for a purpose. Let me just read this. Give me just a few minutes. We still have a few minutes here. And everyone's still awake? Good. All right, if I doze off, wake me up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd rather look at verses than trees when I close my eyes. "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." I want you to hear this, because dwelling in you, when you have the Holy Ghost, you have a ruler. So why would we allow the devil to beat us up and life to beat us up and to always get down? If life keeps trying to pull you down, please understand something. You must be up if it's trying to pull you down. Praise God. Let me say that again in English. You must be up if it's trying to pull you down. If you're down, it can't pull you any further. You're down. "The people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning." What words? "Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The spiritual priesthood. The one who appeared to Abraham. That Abraham paid tithes to when he slaughtered the kings and rescued his nephew Lot. In other words, it was the Lord that appeared to him. As Melchizedek or Prince of Peace, Prince of Salem. Praise God. So we have a high priest. So when you read things, all it's saying is this is not the first covenant. It's not the Levitical priesthood. That's why the scripture says in Revelation 1 that we are kings and priests unto God. Some people will teach that like someday, someday. No, stop the someday preaching. Some of you are so stuck on someday you can't see today. No, we rule and we reign today. You're not going to get another day in your life to rule and reign. There's not going to be a special time we come back for 1,000 years to rule. I don't want to rule on this earth 1,000 years. Praise God. Sorry to disappoint all of you people. But this earth is going to dissolve with a fervent heat. There ain't going to be anything to rule and reign over for 1,000 years. He said, I make all things new. Come on, get your heart in the Bible and your head out of commentaries. Where we rule is righteousness. It's a place. Watch. The Lord hath sworn, will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in his day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. All right. Glory to God. John, let's go back to John. I'm going to try to sum this up and just, if I'm going too fast, forgive me. I know there's a lot, but ultimately this message tonight is about a Savior who is manifest. In John 14, he says something that is key to this place, that the right hand of God represents where we are in God. It represents, yes, his power, represents its favor, but it represents the plan of God. It represents the effort that God made in sending his word and setting up his word to make sure you and I make it. We've got power to make it. That's why I try to remind people that we all have had our struggles. We've all come out of a world of sin, and some sin tries to hang on and drag us back because we were so given to it. But if we spend time, this is why we encourage people, keep going to church, keep praying, and don't give up. Get in church when you want to stay home because you've had a bad day. Get back in church. Because here you're going to learn about the power of God that can help you overcome the world so that it stops overcoming you. It's not supposed to overcome you. There is something that is still active. There's still power and there's still wisdom at the right hand of God. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen how he said that. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said a bunch of stuff knowing who he was. But they didn't know who he was. You believe in God, you're in good company. Who do you think's in your presence? There's only one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Praise God. When he said, I and my Father are one, they took up stones of stone because they said, because you being a man, make yourself God. So they understood what he was saying. But then he began to testify as who he was. Because I said, I'm the Son of God. You take up stones to stone me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Don't let the devil tell you different. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You're in that place tonight if you're born again. If you're not in this place now, you're not going to be in that place later. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Watch. That where I am, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Where do you think you're sitting tonight? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, who is at the right hand of God. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's go back again now to Ephesians 2. You read it once with me. Let's read it again. I want to drill it into your heart and mind so that you understand. When you begin to explore the Word of God, it's a place. It is not. It represents favor, represents power, it represents the righteousness of God, it represents where we dwell in God because of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in a few verses later. He said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And old Tommy boy said, we don't have a word. We don't have any understanding of what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. And how do we know the way? What he was saying was, no man comes unto the Father but by me. He came out from God to bring us to God. So it's kind of like the flaming sword which kept the way of Eden came after them to bring them back to Eden. He said the way, you know, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. This is why we need to be born again. When we're born again the right way, this is where we participate. You know, we're at Easter weekend coming up, and this is where we participate in death, burial, and resurrection. It's not something for us to mentally recognize that he did, and by believing in it, oh, we're now saved. No, this is about us believing that it was done, which is great. We need to believe. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. But this is about us participating and partaking of so that we can end up where he is. What do you think Stephen in Acts chapter 8 testified when they were stoning him to death? He said, I see Jesus. Praise God. Calling upon God. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Praise God. What was he saying in a statement like that? He was saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. What was he saying? He's saying, the Lord was manifested to take away my sin. The Lord was manifested to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And because Jesus is at the right hand of the majesty on high, in other words, we wouldn't read statements like this had not the word come out from God to accomplish something for God and return to God. John 17, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with you before the world was. Told Mary Magdalene, touch me not, for I'm not yet glorified. Why, there was a body that had to get up. If he didn't get up, we wouldn't be getting up. But because he got up, we get up, and we can stay up. Look, heaven's coming, and none of us really can comprehend the depth of what's coming, but we can comprehend life now. And the problem with some of us is we comprehend this life more than we comprehend the eternal life that we've been filled with. We need to sort of balance this out a little bit so that we can live better lives. Thank you, Jesus. More powerful lives. Lives that we see more enemies under our feet than we under our enemies' feet. More victories than defeat, praise God. For after all, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't that what the scripture says? Praise God. It didn't say we're more than victims. It said we're more than victors. What did he say in 1 John 5? He said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. And Paul in Galatians 2, right? The life that I live by the victory, by the faith of the Son of God. That's the life he wants us to live. And this is about seeking those things, right? There's so many verses flowing around here. Colossians 3, you know, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth. Put all those things together and you can start seeing a picture of what the right hand of God is really all about and what it's not all about. See, when you're raised to believe in Father God, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, then you got a problem. Because now you're reading Holy Scripture with a theory in your head and you can't see what the Scripture's saying and it doesn't say anything that the theory says. And so Christ needs to help us get over the theory so we can see the truth. To realize that the right hand of God just means that Jesus came into this world to bring us unto God and to be that judicial call that says, anyone that comes to me, I will justify and I will sanctify them. praise the Lord, and I will cleanse them. And I will give them a past tense in a life of sin. So in other words, Jesus at the right hand of God means salvation to us. Hallelujah. It means the Word of God did something for us to bring us to God. It means everything that He has ever done is still valid. It's still active. Nothing can alter it. That's why the Scripture talks about God, the head of Christ, and Christ, the head of man, the head of woman. When it talks about the headship, the reason why it's God, head of Christ, it's not because there's a different deity, but it's because God created something in Himself. It's almost like God's a mountain. And He said, I want you people to live in my mountain. But it took Christ to come out and hew out a place in the mountain for us. A place for you. Verse 6 here in Ephesians 2, I'm finishing. Forgive me if I went too fast. I know I'm throwing a lot of little things out there, but I'm trying to just come back to the Lord said unto my Lord, to your Lord, because we all needed a Lord. And if He didn't deal with the sin issue, in other words, He said, in the day you eat, you die. So the penalty came from God, but it was the Lord that laid upon, if you will, Himself, His own penalty. Isn't that amazing? In the day you eat, you die. So when He said that to Adam, he saw a cross. In the day you eat, you die. The first man, Adam, made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. So who is He really talking to? Yes, to Adam, but to the last Adam. In the day that you eat, you die. Hallelujah. Because if you don't die, Adam, as in all humanity, mankind, that's Adam, they will be forever dead. And what's the reason for having a world that turns? If there's no hope. The reason why we have tomorrow, we'll have another sunrise, is because of the hope of God. That's the only reason we have one more day coming and then another day and another day, as long as God wants it to be so, is because of the hope that He created to save Adam. Yes. For as in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So the next time you see that sun rising, praise God, you just lift up your heart to God and say, thank you for one more day. Because that sun's rising because of Christ. And the day you eat Adam, Christ dies. Jesus, Jesus. And you, let's start with verse 1, and I'll finish with this. Thank you for listening. Before I read these last six verses, what I'm trying to say on the note of one God is that it was not another deity. Even though there was humanity involved, that did not change God from being one. He can put on flesh and He can take it off. It's not hard for God. It doesn't change His nature. God didn't die at Calvary. The man Christ Jesus died at Calvary. I know that puzzles a lot of people. Well, we'll talk about those other phrases and things that people say. Well, if He's one God, well, who is He praying to Himself? You know, they say all those silly things. And some say it of sincerity. So we'll talk to those who say it in sincerity, just trying to figure it out. Because it's a worthy question to ask, and it helps you explain some things about flesh and spirit and about a soul that would bear the weight of the world. I mean, think about it. One man bore the iniquity of us all. I mean, that's huge. I mean, only God could do that. Only God could cause a man to become a lamb, figuratively speaking,
according to his first covenant, as it was taught, because the lamb represented the sin sacrifice and the disobedience of the people and the need for forgiveness. But one man, he came once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's how powerful the word of God is, that in the womb of Mary, something could be created that would bear the iniquity of us all, so that we could overcome the iniquity of us all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead, but he brought us to life. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and we can all start thinking back when we didn't acknowledge God, we were sinful, we didn't care. We did whatever we wanted to do. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were destined for hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. See, you live life, you do what you do every single day. So the word sit doesn't mean, sorry, Brother Mike, doesn't mean sit. Hi, Daddy God. I'm little son God. I know you're too much of a coward to go down and get bumped off for him also. I did it. No, that's not what it means. And when we sit together in heavenly places, we're not, it's a phrase, it's a word that represents where we dwell. In the secret place, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? He that dwells in the secret place. We are made to sit together in a heavenly place. It's a phrase that represents a rest. It represents a conversion. It represents a baptism into. So even when you're running down the street or you're jogging or you're doing your job or you're cutting fruit trees, we're sitting together in a heavenly place that's in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's thank him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just love him a little bit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, we love you, Jesus. Let me finish in on this thought. According to the scriptures, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word which is God. Not another God. Not a micro God of the big God. The Word is God. And yet that Word was manifest in flesh. And yet God said, I will be a father to my own word. And the word that comes out from me shall be unto me a son. That just baffles my brain. That only God, hey, you try fathering your word. You try allowing your word to come out from you and become something. And then what it becomes, you're the father of. Because it came through virgin birth. And as the dad has the right, what comes out of the womb that comes from you, you beget it. You bear it. The woman bears it. The father begets it. Praise God. Jesus is the word of God. And when you get that, the Lord said unto my Lord, O Lord, our Lord. the Our Lord is because the Word made the Lord our Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 He couldn't be. He couldn't be three persons of anybody's deity. Impossible. Hallelujah. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Now, with this understanding, you just go look at the scripture. If you ask anybody, read any verse outside of Matthew and say, who is the Son of God? What's his name? And say, Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What is his name? Jesus. So now go back and read Matthew 28, 19. Read it. And when you get to the that word name, stop there. Think to yourself, one name. Didn't say names of. It's the name of. And then go to Acts. Well, how did they carry this out? See, the rebellious and the disobedient who have the spirit of this world in them, they'll say, well, you got to take the book of Acts out. They all disobeyed God. No, they didn't. You did. You'll understand that verse. If you get nothing out of that, just go read how they obeyed it in Acts 2, 8, 10, 19, 3, 19 as well. See how they demonstrated it. That tells you that there's only one Lord, one name, one baptism. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Bradley, you think you can come into some prayer?
I know for myself, when I first got baptized, I didn't understand any of it. All I knew was that the Word said I need to be baptized in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord told me that his name was Jesus, I jumped in a tank. I got baptized in his name, received the Holy Ghost. Until it turns your mind to thinking that I can be wrong, and I know the Word is right. Teach me, Lord, your way. And when he does, you will see it. If you want it, search after it. Pray. The greatest thing you can do to approach God is to pray. Humble yourself, submit yourself, lay in his presence, and just think of the glory that he is. And he will open your understanding to the fact that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise of God. And he never backs down on his promises. Lord, we thank you that you are the mighty God. And Lord, that a name has been revealed to us. And God, that we are able to come to you to know you as our Father. For Lord, you birthed us in a new birth. Oh, Jesus, just give us the glory that's in you. Let it rest in us that we would attain the glory that is set before us. And Lord, that we would just move forward, knowing, God, that you can take care of everything that's before us, that you can guide us, you can teach us, and you can direct our way. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor for who you are and what you are to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen.
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 Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes, my soul says yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes, my soul says yes.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. bottom of my heart, to the depths of my soul. To the depths of my soul, I need you. I really do, my soul says yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely, yes, my soul says yes.
One more time, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely, yes, my soul.